Good morning, church. My name is Rick Burton, and today's reading comes from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All you need is love. All you need is love. All you need is love. Love is all you need. Well, what kind of love is it that we need? If I was to look at your 80s playlist that you've got on your phone, if I was to look at the songs that you listen to the most, 90% of them would be about love. Love that we celebrate all the time in movies and in shows and in music is all about the romantic love. But what love do we need to get through this life? What love do we need to live a fruitful and abounding life? What love is it that is central to who we are? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we are in our series At the Movies. Last week, we moved into the Star Wars phase. Some of you are excited. Some of you have never watched Star Wars before. It's unbelievable. But the Star Wars phase we moved into last week was about episode 1 and how this young Anakin Skywalker was going to be the savior and bring balance to the Force. As we know, the hope that they had in this one child waned and was not as strong of an anchor as they thought it was. This week, we move forward 6 episodes all the way to Return of the Jedi. And the Jedi that's going to be the hope for the world is now son of Anakin Skywalker, Luke. Luke, in this particular episode, in Return of the Jedi, now even walks like a Jedi. He walks and he wears black and he walks around and looks wise and looks clever. And the hope of the balance of the Force comes on this one man, Luke Skywalker. Now, amidst all the battles, all the intergalactic battles, amidst all of the X-Wing fights and the TIE fighter fights, all these different kind of things that go on in Star Wars, amidst all of it, I believe George Lucas, what he was creating was a love story. See, Star Wars is all about love. Star Wars is all about the love between the Star Wars Trinity, yeah? Princess Leia, Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker. And through these 3 people, we learn a little bit about love and what love is. In episode 6, Episode 3, if you watch them back in the 70s and the 80s, Return of the Jedi, we witness some love going on. We witness Han Solo falling in love with Princess Leia. Princess Leia is this, she's the only woman in the galaxy, by the way, in the Jedi series at this point. But she's fell in love with Han Solo, and Han Solo fell in love with him. And they're battling, and they're in different places. Luke is up fighting his father. He's got some love going on with his father. He always wanted to connect with his father. It's father and son. They got a couple of issues, you know. And so he goes off to fight his father and try and bring some balance to the Force. And he's fighting with his lightsaber. And on Endor is where we find Han Solo and Princess Leia. And they're like kind of bringing the tractor shield down. Whatever it is, they always do it in Star Wars. They bring the band down so they can get through and destroy the planet. And on this particular planet is where the place is that they're trying to defeat. So they meet their little Ewok friends on Endor. And they defeat the bad guys, and, you know, things are blowing up everywhere, and everyone's real happy. The Ewoks are jumping up and down and dancing kind of thing. And we go to this scene where Han Solo and Princess Leia are just kind of hanging out. Princess Leia's got a wound on her left arm here from getting shot. And Han Solo, ever the romantic, is tending to her and looking after her. And he's watching her and talking to her. And above them, all the battles are going on and the ships are exploding as all of the evil empire like just disappears. And Leia is reflecting. And she looks up and Han Solo says to her, you think Luke was on that ship? And she says, no, I feel it. He wasn't. I feel like he wasn't. And he says to her, you know, always thinking about himself, like, you love him, don't you? And she says, yes, of course I love him. And he says, well, that's fine. When he comes back down here, then I'll back off and you guys can get back together kind of thing. And you guys can all figure it out, you know. And there's a bit of a plot twist here if you've never heard it before. But she responds to him, no, it's not like that. He's my brother, yeah, no plot twist for you guys. He's my brother. And they kiss romantically, they embrace, and he's got this big smile on his face, and all the pennies start dropping everywhere. Oh, now I get it. And the Ewok comes along, their favorite Ewok comes along and breaks the moment kind of thing, and they have to, like, I don't know, defeat more bad guys. But the same problem, though, the same conflict we have with love was happening there as we have today. And it's the organization and the confusion of what we call love. Of course, Darth Vader and Luke had the kind of love that you have for a family, the kind you have for your father or your brother or your sister. And that's the family love, or what the Greeks call storge. That's the love that you have for your family, and that's a really strong love. There's other relationships too, other kinds of love, the kind of relationship that Han Solo has with Chewbacca. Chewbacca always has his back, no matter what conflict it is, whether the hyperdrive is up or the hyperdrive is down. Chewie has always got Han Solo's back, right? And you need those kind of friends. You need that kind of love. And that's called what the Greeks call filial love. And then, of course, there's the one that we celebrate with Hallmark cards, one we celebrate in every movie and every song we ever do. And that's the love that Han Solo and Leia have, which is Eros, or romantic love. So, which one do we need in order to live a fruitful and fulfilling life? Which one of these loves is the best? Is it the family love, the storage love? Is it the filial love, the love we have with a brother, somebody who's strong, he's got your back, he's always there with you and for you? Or is it the romantic love? Does this get us through every conflict in life? The scripture that was read to you today was a familiar scripture. How many of you have heard that before? Who hasn't heard it? Who hasn't heard that scripture before? Yeah, whether you've been in church all your life or whether you've not particularly been in church, you've never followed Jesus in your life, you've probably heard this scripture because most of the time it's read at weddings. Yeah. It's red to celebrate the kind of love that we have at a wedding, which is the romantic love. Well, this love that we have here at this moment will get us through. Paul, the one responsible for communicating, the Apostle Paul, for communicating the love of God throughout all the Mediterranean basin, he wrote this letter to Corinth. Now, Corinth was booming. This was an international city. It was a place where people crossed over on their boats and they stopped off there to hang out with different people. So there's people from all over the world. There's an international, multicultural, multi-dialect people. And in that particular place, people needed love. And the church was thriving. The church there was thriving so well that they had lots of prophecy going on, people telling about who God was and what he was doing in and amongst their lives, what was going to happen next. They had a lot of knowledge. They had people from different countries with different head knowledge. They knew what was going on. They had a good understanding of what was going on in the culture. And they were also giving. They were giving financially. They were giving to the poor. And they were giving to those who had less than themselves. Paul loved this church so much in Corinth that he wrote to them this letter. And he wrote to them about what? He wrote to them about love. And here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 13. You can follow along again. You might see something a little different. In fact, I guarantee you will see something different today. He says in verse 1, if I could speak of all language of earth and angels or didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Now, he says this in retrospect to the fact that he knows that this church is doing well and doing the things that churches should do. And he says, yeah, you guys are speaking languages. You've all got the different languages going on. He says, you're prophesying. That means you're talking about what God's doing in your life. You're saying what God would pay attention to right now. Some of them were even saying what was going to happen in the future in and amongst the culture wars of Corinth. Some of them knew God's secret plans. They were smart. They had knowledge. I have a friend of mine who loves to know stuff. You have one of those friends? They love to know everything, reads every blog, read every news article, every update that comes on their phone. He loves to know stuff, and he knows about the next new Bible coming out. He knows about the next speaker or thought leader. He knows like little snippets. If you go out for lunch with them, or maybe even ice cream, he knows like the kind of ice cream that would be the best taste at that particular time. He loves knowledge. He loves to know. Some people would say that knowledge is power. He goes on to that, he says, some of you will have faith that could move mountains. That faith in God and faith in yourself that you could do the stuff that you do with all the knowledge that you have. You can move mountains. In fact, some of them were giving so much. They were given so much food and so much water, drink, and so much of their own shelter that they were depriving themselves of what they should have, basic needs. And they were doing this all in Corinth, and they all thought they were doing well. Now, Paul loved Corinth. But he said that if you have these things, if you prophesy, if you say, well, God's coming and he wants you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and he says it's just like a clanging bell or a resounding cymbal. You've heard those people. You've heard people that tell you to do things, tell you what God wants to do. Maybe it's a guy with a bullhorn on the street. That those people when you were younger that said something to you that make you feel lesser. He says, yeah, you can prophesy about God, but that's what it sounds like. Guess what I know? I know all the newest updates. I know everything I can. I know all the emails. I've got all the updates about culture. He says it's nothing unless you have what? Unless you have. So you can prophesy. You can speak in languages. You can say you have faith and you have knowledge in what's going on. You can be the person who gets all the updates. But it sounds like so what love is it, Paul? Is it the filial love, the kind of love that I have for my friends, the kind of love that I have for Chewbacca? Is it the love that I have for my family, for my father, for my sister, for my mother? Is that kind of love that will help me, Paul? Is it the kind of love that we have in romance, the kind of love that Leah and Han Solo have? What is it? What's the kind of love that we need, Paul? Here's what he says about it. Verse 4. It's patient. It's kind. It's not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable, but it keeps no records of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. This love is agape. Say it with me, agape. It's the Greek word for unconditional love. And this is what it sounds like. This is what it looks like. It's patient. That doesn't mean patient in situations. That doesn't mean patient in long lines. That doesn't mean patient on US 19 traffic. It means patient with people. Patient with people that you are surrounded with. Patient with people you're sitting next to that you might have been with for a long time. You still got to be patient with them, amen? The love that is undeserving. It's kind. And that's not random acts of kindness. This is the kind of kindness that you do because you have the agape love of God inside your life, so much so that it's your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing. Remember, Jesus said that in the Gospels. It's like, oh, I'm just being kind because that's who I am. Love is patient. It's kind. It's hopeful. It's truthful. It endures through circumstances. How many of you, through the last couple of years, no matter what you've been through, no matter who has been sick in your family, no matter what pain you've gone through, the love of God has endured for you? Yeah, yeah. God's love always endures. The agape love of God will always be present for us and part of who we are. It's interesting that the loves, I'll call them the familiar loves, the love of a friend, the love of our parents and family, and the romantic love. It's interesting, no matter whom you follow, no matter what you follow, no matter whether you follow Jesus or you follow Buddha, everybody can experience, no matter who you are, everybody can experience these three loves. Everyone can experience the love of parents and the family love, the storage love. Everybody, no matter what persuasion people are, can experience the love of a friend, the filial love. And everybody can experience the romantic love that's celebrated in and amongst our culture. It's almost like God placed that inside of you. It's almost like God put that in there to say, hey, this is good. Do you like this? G- guess what else I got? He's wooing us in here to say, I got a better love than that. I got an agape love that'll get you through so much more than romantic love, so much more than filial love, so much more than storge and the relationship you have with your family. He says, this is the kind of love I want you to know. This is the kind of love that I want you to that doesn't sound like, I won't hit it again. But it doesn't sound like this. Paul says 15 things of what agape love is. This is why it's celebrated. This is why we celebrate and we put it on cards and we put it on little stones and pieces of wood at weddings and stuff like that, because it's so beautiful. And he gives us 15 things. It's almost like we need to know it every day. He gives us 15 things, some things that are and some things that are not. He says it's not rude. I'll say it again. It's not rude. Some of you have come across some rude people who have supposedly the agape love within them. It says right here, it's not rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. My wife will tell you, I am irritable. It is keeps no records of being wronged. That's a big one for us. It keeps no records of being wronged. It doesn't delight in injustice. It doesn't delight in somebody else getting what you think they deserve. It doesn't delight when you see a friend or a person who used to be your friend falling. You see them coming under some circumstances that you like. I'm so glad. You know what that's called? Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude is the delight in other people falling and failing or falling into circumstances that you think they should get. It doesn't delight in this, the agape love of God. It doesn't give up. It endures through every circumstance. And always, the agape love of God always rejoices in the truth. It rejoices in the truth that you see in other people. It hopes in other people even when it seems like they are hopeless. It's the kind of love that drives you through circumstances that you never thought you were going to get through. How many of you would love for some other people in your family to know this love? How many of you would long to see some of this agape love and these qualities and these things that we read, these 15 things, how many of you would love to see that in some of your filial relationships? How many of you would just have loved for someone to hope in you when you were a 12-year-old? And you remember that one thing that somebody said that was loving towards you. So, what is the love that Paul and John and George and Ringo want us to have? All you need is love. All you need is love. What is the love that Paul and John and Ringo want us to have? Is it the kind of love that Chewie and Han Solo have in their friendship? Is it the kind of love that we have with our family and friends? And they're all good, but is it that's going to get us through? Is it the romantic love we celebrate so much that's going to get us through this life? Are we going to be fruitful and live a fulfilled life with these loves? The answer is, the only way we will live a fruitful and fulfilled life is through knowing Christ and the agape love of God. Amen? Amen. This is the kind of love that we need in our lives today so much. And you've heard the scripture before. You've seen Star Wars before. Some of you are like, yeah, we've done this love thing before. We've done the agape thing before. But sometimes we need some action steps to drive us into into what we can actually do with this agape love. And now, if you're a follower of Jesus and you've decided to follow Christ, the agape love is within your heart. This is the kind of love that drives you. This is the kind of love that's at the bottom of your soul, and it's driving all the other three loves. You've been wooed in, you've been taken in, and the love of Christ has got you in, and you love it, and you're celebrating that today. But I believe there's some action steps that we need to take. So I've got some for you today. So if you're the writing kind of person, do that. If you're someone who takes pictures of screens, do that. If you're online, you can screenshot as we put this up. Here's the first one. This is what I want you to do today. You want somebody else to have the agape love of God? Love on somebody who you think is unlovable. I know you know somebody who is unlovable. Everybody else thinks they're unlovable. They live by themselves at the end of the cul-de-sac. They're the lonely people at the tables in schools across the nation. The people who you know that people neglected. Love on someone, the agape love, who you think is unlovable. That's number one. Number two, hope in one person who has lost hope. This is different than the other person. This person has gone through every circumstance of life. They've gone through every illness. They've gone through every pain. They've lost loved ones, almost like a Job-like character. And they've lost all hope. But because you have the agape love in your life and you're here today worshiping, you can give that person hope, amen? Hope in one person, just one person, who has lost hope. That's number two. And the final one that I want you to do today. Give. Give to someone who doesn't deserve it. Give to somebody you know who doesn't deserve it. Give financially to these people. It doesn't have to be a lot of money. Just give them a bit of hope. Show the love that you have in your life. I've just given you this. And don't tell anyone about it. Don't say, hey, I give her some money. Just don't tell anyone. Don't let you know what your right hand is doing to the left hand. Give to somebody so that they may understand the agape love of God. Now, filial love is not what we need to help us in this life to live a fulfilled life. The love of family is not the only thing we need. The storge love, what the Greeks called storge, that's not what we need. And certainly, the romantic love, the eros love that we have for romance is not the only love we need. The love we need to have a fruitful life is the agape love of God. Amen. Go and do those action steps.